here this morning. Hallelujah. So good to see everybody once again. Pray that you'll join with me this morning, giving God some glory. Amen. A little bit under the weather myself. This constant weather changing back and forth. So I hope you'll sing out as loud as you can to help me out. Amen. Let's sing that song, Power of Your Love.
Lord, I come to You, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grave that I find in You. Lord, I've come to I see in me will be stripped away by the power of Your love.
Sing it now.
I was so with You, Your Spirit.
Let's sing that song, You Deserve the Glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. Yes, you do, Lord. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Let's just praise Him as we lift your holy name. help me out. Sing it out now. To that verse in my head, but it just left me. Man, that's all right. Hallelujah. So musicians, continue playing that softly. We'll make mention of several special needs that we have. There's a lot of sickness going around. I'll let you have your seats for just a moment. Give your legs a rest. I'd like to ask Brother Ben McCafferty, if you would please, to be ready to take these needs before the Lord. Have a special need here. It says, please pray for Lee May. He had a heart attack and had to have a double bypass, and there's a hole in his heart. But our God is able. And this prayer request comes from Brother David Stevens. So let's remember this dear brother. God would reach down and give him a special touch in his body for this heart attack and this issue he's dealing with. Amen. I remember Brother David Cockman and his family. They are out and they're in need for a touch for the Lord. Amen. I believe they're all dealing with some sickness. Let's remember Brother David Cockman and his family. I remember Brother Ron Knobloch in prayer. I believe he fell yesterday. He didn't break anything, but it did fracture his knee and his foot that he had previously injured and broken. I believe it's all swollen very badly, so please remember him in prayer. I remember Brother David and Sister Hannah Whitlock. They're also sick. I remember Anna Jackson in prayer. She's also sick. I believe there's some flu virus going around the family. Want to remember Brother Matt Cross and Brother John Cockman. They are traveling. They're away attending the Florida ministers meeting. Please remember them in prayer. And also Sister Karen. Is Sister Karen here? Yes. There was a request to remember you back in prayer. Is that still having trouble with that? Let's remember Sister Karen in prayer as well for her back. Any of the folks that want to get their end of the year contributions, they are available in the library. So if you want to pick those statements up, feel free to do so after service. Amen. That's all of the spoken prayer requests I have before me at this time. Let's all stand. Are there any unspoken prayer requests by uplifting your hands? Amen. God knows the needs. He's able to perform those. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just count it a great privilege and an honor to be here this morning, Father, with our brothers and sisters, to be able to come and worship You this morning, Father, and to hear the Word. And Lord, we just We humbly come before you, Father, and we just say, Lord, we need your help. Lord, there's lots that are sick. Brother Jaron's read the prayer request, Father. My own daughter's at home sick this morning, Father. Lord, we just ask that you'll go all to those, Father, that are not feeling well. Put your loving hand of healing upon them, Father, and just touch them this morning, Lord. Lord, we know that by your stripes we are healed, Father. And Lord, we just claim that this morning, Father. Lord, for those that are traveling, those that may have been working, Father, Lord, we just ask that you'll be with them, Father. Lord, we ask that you'll go and bless them, Father, this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, those who are going through financial, mental, Lord, spiritual battles, Lord, we just ask that you'll touch them, Father. Lord, we are at the end, Lord, and we know it is not easy, Father, but we're thankful, Lord, that there is a refuge that we can run to this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you'll be with our brother Jaron, Lord, as he continues to lead us in worship, Lord. We just ask that you'll bless him, Father. Bless the musicians, Lord, and as the word comes forth, Lord, Lord, we ask that you'll bless the speaker, Lord. Let them speak freely and from their heart, Lord, and may our hearts be open, Lord, to receive the word. That's why we're here this morning. We just ask it all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, What a Lovely Name, the name of Jesus, my all-time favorites.
Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching high far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs of saints of every race shall behold his face, and with him enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. Jesus, reaching high and far. Oh yes, hallelujah. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, than the saints proclaim. What a lovely name. In clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face, and with him enter heaven's city, ever to proclaim. What a lovely name. Sing the first. Than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim. What a lovely name. Let the saints proclaim. What a lovely name.
Why don't you give him a hand? Hallelujah. Won't that be the day? Hallelujah. We could stand before him and proclaim his name. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing one more? I'd like to have our deacons come forward at this time. We'll take up our morning offering. I'd like to sing that song, When We All Get to Heaven. Hallelujah. Won't that be a wonderful day? Amen. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer, brother? Pastor prepares to come. Why don't we sing that song? Think about His love. Oh, think about His love. Yes, think about His goodness. Oh, think about His grace that's brought us. Father.
think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us. Into this part of the service, and we have a word of prayer this morning, I want to ask you to remember a special request that was given to us by Brother Keith. It is for his uncle Charles Buchanan, and he lives near Seattle, Washington, and he's in the final stages of life with cirrhosis of the liver and only been given a few days to live. He's asking, and this is his prayer, that God would take him on home and end his suffering. So we were going to lift him up before the Lord this morning and his family as well, because that's a difficult thing when you come to that point. And so let's remember him in prayer. We also, too, want to remember Brother Mike Pritchard, his father. Brother Mike is here this morning. Sister Angie's in Georgia, but Brother Mike is here this morning. And yesterday he had a good day, and we're thankful for that, able to communicate a little. And it's a tough thing. Not really a whole lot anybody can do at this particular point except just really hold him up in prayer. So if you don't mind, let's just bring these requests before him this morning. And then anything that you would have, I think it's important for us to believe that God is able to do the impossible. He's able to do above and beyond what we would ask or think. But we're not here to tell God what to do. We're here to present our petitions before him. And so let's do that together. Father, we thank you that we have a place that we can turn, a refuge, Lord, an oasis that we can come to in the times of strife and times of trouble. Times, Lord, when we as human beings, Lord, even in the medical world, we run out of answers. We run out of remedies and treatments. And Lord Jesus, sometimes your ways, Lord, are just hard for us to understand because they are above our ways. But you know, Lord, all things, and your timing is always perfect. And so we dare not come and tell you what to do, but we do come in faith, Lord, and present our petitions to you because you taught us to do that. You said, Lord, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind our faith together this morning. And Lord, we invite your presence to draw near in this place that, Lord, you might touch and minister to every heart. You can do things I cannot do. And you know things about us that I would never know. And Lord, you always know what's best. And so we invite you to come and just to pour oil upon the troubled waters in lives, Lord, that maybe are in distress. And Lord, you're able to be the healer today, Lord, and allow that just that healing virtue to flow to those who need it. And we think of those, Lord, who are suffering. And Lord, Brother Keith's uncle and Brother Mike's father and Sister Angie's mother. And Lord, just so many that are in those stages of life, we commit them to you. And ask, Lord, that you would draw comfort. And may, Lord, we just experience that nearness of the Holy Spirit in times like that. Father, we just commit every need to you now and believe, Lord, that you care about us. Bless this service, we pray. Put it in your hands in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. You may be seated just for a moment. Keith, you hang on if you will, and we'll let the musicians just take your place this morning. And we would just make a couple of quick announcements here this morning, and with God's help. We don't have our back projector on there, and I don't know if that matters or not. Probably not to anyone else except me. God bless you this morning. It's good to have all of you in the house of the Lord today, and it is an honor to be here with you this Sunday morning. We are at that time of the year when there's all kinds of maladies and viruses that float around. I need you to know that all of them are lies of the devil. But nonetheless, some of the folks are not here this morning, and I think their names have been mentioned. But for folks that are going through it, it's certainly a difficult time, and we want to remember them. It's good to see Sister Sarah's car in the driveway this morning as I passed by her place, and good to have you back, Sister Sarah. Good to have you with us, Sister Psaki, today, and may the Lord bless you. Brother Steve is in Virginia today ministering for Brother Fulcher, and we'd ask you to just, if you don't mind, remember him in prayer. Obviously, a lot of changes. 68 years married is a long time, and so it's quite an adjustment for him and also for Sister Becky as well. We had originally planned next Saturday to do a musicians' gathering, a musicians' day, and we're going to postpone that just for a little while. We'll let you know when we're going to do that, just so we can pull things together. It's been an unusual start for our year, so we will let you know when we are going to do that, if you don't mind. Got a couple of birthdays here that we don't have any projectors working, I guess. There we go. January 13th, Sister Carol Henley's birthday, and Lincoln Clayville's birthday. How old are you, Lincoln? 12 years old, really. God bless you. January 14th is Hans Felix Florian's birthday. Best year of his life. William Aiden Cross. We didn't have enough room on the screen, so I'm sorry. But William Aiden, are they here this morning, Sister Melody? Matt's in Florida today. January 15th, Sister Jackie Whitlock's birthday. The 18th was Sister Lily Harwell's birthday. God bless you, Sister Lily. And Rebecca Ivy's birthday on the same day. God bless you, Sister Rebecca. And may the Lord give you a wonderful year. January 19th, Titus Franklin's birthday. And today is Sister Laura's birthday. God bless you, Sister Laura. Big month for Brother John. And may the Lord bless you. And then January 22nd is Sister Grace Johnson's birthday. We have a special celebration this afternoon for Sister Grace in the Sunday school. We're going to have dual Sunday school this afternoon with two grades and my group and Steve's group this afternoon. So we're going to have a special celebration for Sister Grace. And may the Lord richly bless her. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We also, too, we have the registration, which is open. This is might be a little hard to read, but this is the registration that's open on the website for the married couples banquet. Brother Craig Boer is going to be here that weekend for us and take the banquet and then minister for us on that Sunday. And we decided to move it, keep it at the Crown Plaza Hotel so that we did not have any one of the couples working here in the fellowship hall during the banquet. So we wanted the couples to be able to come and enjoy that and not have to work, and that's why we did it up there. So you're able to register. You jump online there, and we already have people already starting to do that. So you might want to take note of that. Also today, if you did not receive the email, all of the information you would ever need to know about, Lord willing, our trip to Israel in the end of October is now available. And if you have any questions or any problems, you can let me know, but we can email you the brochure, and it has all the instructions. It has everything we're going to do every day in Israel, so what the tour includes every day, where we'll stay, all the details about the finances and so forth, and the flights and flight arrangements. It's very self-explanatory, and if anyone has any questions about it, you can certainly let me know. We'd be glad to help out. It'll be, you know, I need to say this, and I say this because this is an important time to say it. Sometimes when you hear the news and you hear about things that are going on in the Middle East and trouble in Israel, in all the years that I have taken groups to Israel, and Sister Becky has been, I think, 16 times over to Israel on tours, we've never, ever seen any kind of trouble whatsoever, any kind of trouble near us. Tourism is the biggest industry in Israel, and it's extremely crowded and extremely full of tourists, especially that time of the year. And they're very good at networking among themselves and steering clear of any problems that are there. The media makes it sound different than what it really is. And I will guarantee you that almost in any place in the world, when you hear the news and they describe it. It seems like the whole country's on fire, the whole country's blowing up. It's really not that way. Israel is a very, very safe place to go and to visit, and it's certainly worthwhile. And as I've said many times in the past, going to Israel will make your Bible a new book. There is nothing like seeing the places in comparison to just reading them. So it's really a special place to go. So if you're thinking, considering that, let me know. We'd be glad to answer any questions at all. Well, just a couple of quick things that I wanted to do this morning, and that is, it's good to have Brother Andy Coffey here and family, and I wanted to just acknowledge with Brother Andy that he's asked to step down as a trustee, and well, we had a gift, a certificate for him. We do not have it this morning. It never got printed, and that was my fault because of the printer. I installed a new printer and didn't get it done. So forgive me, Brother Andy. But since I was here, since the day I came to this church, Brother Andy has been a trustee and a faithful steward here, and we appreciate your years of service and commitment and help to the church. So may the Lord bless you. We appreciate that very much. Let's give Brother Andy a round of applause. That's a small thing to give, just an applause. That's a small thing to give, but we do appreciate the years of service. Also, too, in another change that we're going to make, Brother Wayne Coffey asked me to accept the fact that... Where's Brother Wayne? Is he here? He's just there in the back corner. After 40 years, Brother Wayne is asked to step back from the main position of song leader in the church. And for various reasons, and he felt like this would be the right time to do that. I told him, I said, we'll reluctantly do that and we'll hold on to him because we obviously want him to fill in and to help out and so forth. And somebody who's been doing something that long, you know, it's a special gift and a special talent that a person has. And Brother Wayne, we want you to know we really appreciate all of those years of laboring and preparing and praying and leading the people. And sometimes when the people want to be led and sometimes when they don't. And the song leaders have an important job. And so we appreciate Brother Wayne very much and his contribution. So may the Lord richly bless you, Brother Wayne. But we're not done with you yet. We're just going to let you slide back a little bit into the background, and that's all. So may the Lord richly bless you. We also, too, on now a different note, we have some things that we need to do, and that is with Brother Mark Sylvester. We had originally nominated Brother Mark to be a deacon along with a trustee. He's a person who at first we thought, well, this might be a good position for Brother Mark because he's got experience as a deacon and he's got experience as a trustee. And so I had him nominated to be a deacon as well. This is the first time I've ever done this in my ministry, but we retracted the invitation to be a deacon, and we want him to remain as a trustee because we need good trustees. Brother Andy's stepping down. We need good trustees. And so we're going to leave Brother Mark in the trustee place. And when we need another deacon, we'll reconsider again. Brother Mark, we appreciate you in the slot that you're in, and appreciate the work you and Sister Jackie do, and so may the Lord bless you. But we want to nominate two new people this morning to be trustees, because we need good trustees, and our trustees are becoming more active and involved in things in the church here. And so we're putting forth two people today that we will vote on in a couple of weeks, and we just give them a little time, and you a little time as well, to adjust to this, and that is... the two people that we want to nominate this morning are Brother Ben Pritchard and Brother Peter Coffey. And we appreciate both of them and their labors. They've already been kind of doing things as trustees and helping out and in the labor force of the trustee group. And we appreciate their contribution. And so we're going to give everybody a little time to think about that and to pray about that. And then we'll take a formal church vote put those guys in, because it isn't just the pastor who decides those things. You decide those things as trustees because they represent you, and they make decisions and they sign papers and they do things that are legally binding for the church. And we appreciate our trustees and the work they do. And Brother Ben and his leadership for the group there. So we're going to ask you just to pray about Brother Ben and Brother Peter to become officially two new trustees. Hope that's okay. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And let's sing one more little chorus. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As we let's sing it again. Just close your eyes and let's just worship Him this morning now. Just from your heart. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. Jesus, as we enter into your courts this morning, Lord, just reverently and in a spirit of worship, Lord, we just desire that you would just come and speak to us, Lord. Reach out to us, I pray, and just speak to us today. Lord, you are the teacher, you're the revealer of your word, and we depend upon you, Lord. This is not about us, this is about you. And so, Lord, we give you this time together now today and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, let's take your Bible, if you will, and we're going to go to two places. And Isaiah chapter 11 will be the first one. Isaiah chapter 11. Now, these are two very familiar passages of Scripture here, but let's just read them, and then we'll just look to him to help us this morning. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And this is a family tree phrase. A branch that will come. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is speaking of Christ. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. May the Lord add his blessing. Now, while you're standing, if you don't mind, let's go to John chapter 4. Sorry, John the 4th chapter. This is the chapter that Brother Branham made very famous in dealing with the woman at the well. And this is his conversation with her. And you're very familiar with this, so let me just abbreviate the reading. And let's go to verse 21. John chapter 4 and verse 21. And this conversation revolves around the idea of worship. She says in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her in 21, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's a change coming. That's what he was saying. There's a change coming. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For the Father seeketh not worship, but he seeks those who will worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Forgive me for not doing this a little bit earlier, but I just wanted to make mention of the fact that we are delighted to have the Male family with us from Florida. Dr. Male is working in Winston-Salem, and we want to welcome them to our assembly. And they've lost their visitor status, so we just want to welcome them to the church, Jonathan and Leah, and the children, Titus, Annie, and Joey. And we appreciate you being here, and we certainly want to make you feel welcome, and may the Lord richly bless you. Let's just jump ahead here, and I want to just preface this a little bit this morning, and I'm just going to ask you to kind of lock in with me here for especially the first part this morning. Brother Bannon makes this statement. He said, I think it's come to a time when we've got to know how we stand. And how can you do anything unless you got faith in what you're doing? You have to have faith. We can't really do anything with confidence or with faith until we know what we're doing and know why we're doing it. And we could add, and know why we're being led to do this, you know, knowing who it is that's leading us. And this is a kind of an understatement, and this is a simple thing that Brother Branham would say, but I believe that we've come to a place where there's got to be, and I can foresee it, there has to be a fundamental shift in how we believe, if you like, or how we worship, in order for us to leave here what we refer to as the change. We've moved through different cycles and we move through different times, but I think there are, I feel like we're on the edge of great transition in the world and great things happening. There are many, many signs. There's many, many things that are taking place. There's a lot of people in the world today that are very interested in the moon tonight. And the moon is in an unusual position. It's called a super moon, a blood moon, and a wolf moon, all in the same night. Starts about 11 o'clock or so, and the total lunar eclipse takes place, I think, around 12:30 or so. A blood moon is when the Earth is so close to the Earth's atmosphere that with the rays and so forth, it appears to be red in the sky. A wolf moon is an Indian term, a Native American term, that implies that this is the first full moon of the year. And then a super moon is described as one where the moon is so close to the Earth, it is in the largest phase. So it looks bigger because it is closer, actually, to the Earth than normal. There's all kinds of people who attach significance to that, spiritual significance to that. It's interesting that a prophet in our time didn't. But it's an important, I always feel like that whenever God does something on the earth, he always reflects it in the heavens. I will say also there's some strange things that are taking place. I was telling somebody today that there was a swarm of locusts and roaches that descended on Mecca, which is the center of the Muslim world. And I'm not sure what significance that is. But it is. It was quite a sight to see that. They actually had to bring in special crews to take the load of locusts, and they were trying to kill them off. It just descended on the whole place, and locusts always in the scripture were a sign of judgment. There are signs like that that take place in the earth. And some of those things, you know, we may look at as significant. Some of those things, they may have significance in the mind of God. But I look at, I'm standing back this morning and just looking at this, and I've been thinking about this subject and pondering it a little bit, and trusting maybe I can deposit in your heart what the Holy Spirit's been trying to deposit in my heart. And to say that, I want to title this morning, The Highest Calling, And I want to speak about the subject of worship. But the moment you say the word worship, people think that you're going to talk about music and what kind is okay and what kind is not okay. And that's not my intent at all. I believe the highest calling that we have as believers is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And to be able to have a revelation of God and to be able to worship Him in that context or in that way. Since this church was established and since I came here, some of you folks that were here in the early days will remember that one of the things that was really important to me and important to the people here was to establish, a priority. And the priority was that we were going to present and project the message of the hour, the gospel of Jesus Christ here, and to communicate that to the community and to the world. And everything really at HBT, everything really that we have done has grown out of that value. It's grown out of that that directive or that initial concept that we had here at the church. We were not here just to have a church. We were not here just to have a crowd. We're not here just to make the thing grow. That was not the intent at all, and it still isn't the intent. We're not here to, to grow this kingdom. We're not here to, build bigger buildings. That's not the intent. Never was the intent. The intent was to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, in the light of the message of the hour, and to be able to spread the gospel. And I'm very thankful that out of that we have grown, and out of that we grow in grace and in knowledge. When you worship God correctly, when you know what you worship and you know who it is that you worship, out of that comes healing, and out of that comes growth, and out of that comes the blessing of being in His presence. Out of that kind of worship, that's what's important. And worship is, it means to give value to something. There are people who worship their achievements. There are people who worship movie stars. And they give value to that. And realistically, everybody in life worships something, right? Everybody worships something. They give value to something. And when it comes to worship of God, I believe that God actually chose us to worship Him, and to worship Him in this particular hour, and with the particular message or understanding that God's given to us in this last day. I don't believe it's coincidental that we're here right now, and I don't believe it's coincidental that God has given us this message right now. And I believe He's ordained us to worship Him and to worship Him in the right way. And that's why that our conduct and our conduct in music and our conduct in worship here on the platform and song leaders and everything that's done, I think it's important to God because God delights in the praises of His people. And when we worship God, and not just in our singing, but even in our listening and our believing, I believe that that connects us to the eternal. It connects us to Almighty God. And that's something that God loves, and that's something that we also should love because that's really why we're here. We're not here just because it's Sunday. We're not here just because it's our duty. It's not here because this is the place we go to because it's closer to our house than another place. That's not the reason we're here. We're not here for convenience. We're here by revelation. And I believe the Holy Spirit leads His people to the right place that He wants them to be. And in His presence, I believe when we worship God, it's almost like something is unlocked and His presence can move among us in an easier way. And I believe in that atmosphere, I believe that you can hear things that will affect your life forever. I believe you can hear things that will change your life forever. And I believe that's what God wants to do. He will actually help define your life forever for the rest of your days on this earth in His presence and through His word. He can actually do that. And I believe that, a lot of people get their start in a church. And I believe that the new birth actually reconnects or it reengages you to the eternal. It is not just to say, well, now I'm a member of this church, but it actually reconnects you with where you came from in the first place and where you're going to wind up throughout eternity. How many can say amen? The new birth actually does that. And it's important for us to realize that God's called us to engage the eternal power, if you like, or the eternal presence of Almighty God. Because I don't believe that our worship, really, and our way of thinking about God and thinking about the gospel is the same as everyone else. And I don't say that in a proud way, and I'm not saying that we're above everybody else. I'm just saying that God has chosen to give us a certain understanding of the Scripture that everyone doesn't have and everyone doesn't enjoy. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that because I don't really know why God has done that, but he's done that. If you don't mind, let's take your Bible for a minute. Let's go to Ezekiel. This is not on the screen here, but I just want you to look at this together. This is an important little passage of Scripture. Forgive me this morning here. I'm just veering off a little bit, but I hope that's okay. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 44, you remember Ezekiel and Jeremiah are both prophets to the people who were in exile. And these are people who are, in one way or another, for the majority of people have strayed from the principles and the commandments and ordinances that God has given. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel help the people understand exactly what the problem is, and he describes certain things. But I want you to notice here in Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 4, "Then brought he me by way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face." Now, I need you to watch a description here. This is the house of God, and the glory of God is there, because God wanted to dwell among his people. So that's what was important primarily. 5, "And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine heart, with thine ears, all that I say concerning thee, all unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all the laws thereof. And mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary." God's already given commandments concerning the operation of the house of the Lord. Right? He's already done that back in Moses. The first 5 books of the Bible talk about the order of worship and the way things are supposed to be done, how offerings are to be done, and the way that they are to be conduct themselves in the house of God. That's already been done. But here he's telling Ezekiel, mark it well. He says, I need you to repeat this again. And keep, when you say what you say, keep in mind what it is that I've already said about operating in the sanctuary. He's talking to ministers here. "And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves." God's correcting Israel here. He says, you brought in people here that came in inappropriately. You brought in things that didn't belong in the house of God. And today, if we said that in our language today, maybe they brought in music or they brought in a style of worship or something that didn't belong in the house of God. You know, people have brought in bingo and they brought in rock and roll music and they brought in, sensual things and so forth. They brought in all kinds of things. They brought in homosexual ministers, right? Homosexual pastors in the church. And violated God's commandments. He said, you're still offering my offerings. You're offering the blood and the fat and all the things that you were supposed to do. But this is not the right way. So even if you offer the right things, but the people offering them are not in the right place, that isn't right. Because God's not fooled by that. Right? That's really just religion. And this is what he's explaining to Ezekiel. And he wants him to say this to the people. And he says, verse 10, "And the Levites that are gone away from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me in their idols, and they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers." Now watch what he says here. This is actually a positive thing, but I need you to follow me. "Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the house. And ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for who? For the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them." So God doesn't run all the Levites and the ministers out. He says, I want you to stay, offer the right offerings, and offer them for the people. I want you to minister to the people who come to the tabernacle. "Because they ministered unto them," verse 12, "before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me. Now, they're there ministering, but they're ministering to the people. But God says, they'll not come near unto me. They can minister to the people, but not me. And do the office of a priest unto me. They shall not do that, nor come near, nor to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. In other words, the church will still carry on until God decides to shut it down. Church is still going to carry on. But now watch verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok. Stop. The sons of Zadok were a family tree that were known for their steadfastness about God's commandments, and they were not compromisers. They were absolutely known to have the reputation of not being compromisers at all. They were people who were steadfast and kept the commandments of God. They stood in contrast to the other Levites that were there, that were bringing in the uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in the flesh and so forth, and causing all these compromises and all of this backsliding that was going on. The sons of Zadok stood in contrast to them. And watch what God says to them. The priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me, to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. And they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto who? Me. And they shall keep my charge. So now here we have a situation where you have actually two kinds of worship that's going on. They're offering the same thing. In other words, they're reading out of the King James Bible. They're kind of going through the motions here. But God says, I want this one group here to minister unto me. And that, my friend, is what real perfect worship is about, is ministering to Him. Because there's nobody can minister to a husband like a wife, and nobody can minister to a wife like a husband. And God says, these people, these sons of Zadok, they have kept my commandments. They have observed my laws and my ordinances, and they have marked well the commandments that I've given about the house of the Lord. And I want these people to minister to me. And there is in this world, there is ministry to God, and there's ministry to people. There are churches that minister to people to make them happy, to keep them coming, to raise money, right? There are churches that exist to make everybody feel good and to go home. I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying that there are churches that exist that way. But I'm telling you this morning, we are not called to be that way. Because we are called to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're not here to worship each other. We're not here to worship me. We're not here to worship Brother Branham, God forbid. We are here to worship Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's called, God's equipped a people to enter into His courts, offer the right offerings, and to worship and to minister unto Him Himself. God's actually called us to minister unto Him. And we minister unto Him as we believe and we receive and we obey and we worship Him. And, we have a revelation of things and we sing and we enjoy His presence and so forth. As we enter into that presence, and there's nothing like that presence, then we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Somebody say amen. And we have, when we do that, we give value to His presence. That's why we don't do other things in the sanctuary, for instance. That's why we conduct ourselves a certain way, is because we give value to the house of the Lord or the place where He comes. And we come here because we believe He comes here. And when He comes here, something happens to us, right? When He visits us, then something good happens to us here correspondingly. And that's why, you know, the musicians and the song leading and everything else, it's not about the individual. It's not about the individual piano player and who's the greatest. It's not about, the preacher and who's the greatest preacher. Let me tell you, it's not about, and if we emphasize that or we put value on that, we've missed the whole point. We're really no different than the other Levites that were there that are still carrying on in their religious worship and their religious actions and so forth, but they're missed the point. They're not allowed to come close to Christ. And to me, what's valuable is not necessarily, I like this preacher and I like that preacher and I don't like this one. I'm not going to go here. I'm going to go over here. Hey, I believe personally we should be beyond that kind of thing. I believe we should find a place where God has revealed to us this is a place where you can hear the Word of God and you can enter into His courts with praise and you can benefit from that. Hey, I've had people who left here. And it's not maybe who you're thinking about, but people have visited here and they left here. And obviously it's their prerogative, it's their choice. But I remember thinking, man alive, this is not going to be good for your kids. And I didn't tell them that because they didn't ask me that question. And I thought, wow, that's not going to be a great move. And the reason was because they're moving for a wrong reason. I knew the reason that the brother had told me the reason that he was leaving. And I don't want you to get the sense that, if anybody leaves here, my family's all going to break up and they're all going to die. That's not the case at all. Because I believe that people need to be led by the Spirit of God. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Is that all right? And you know what? We came here of our own free will, and everything else happens also because of our own free will. And that's not my job to try to, legislate or force anybody to do what they don't feel to do. That's not my intent at all. But I believe, saints of God, that God has a place for every one of us, and God has a design for every one of our lives. And I believe He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth and put value on the right things. And the right thing is not Brother Barry, and the right thing is not a fellowship hall. The right thing is the word of this hour. It's the light that God's shining right now, and to be standing right in the middle of that light. And you're going to be misunderstood if you do it. You're going to be misrepresented if you do it by people in this world, because everybody doesn't. Hey, like Ezekiel says right here, there are people doing the same thing, but they're not in the same presence. They're doing the same things, but they're not in the same presence you are. But there's a group of people who are called to enter into that most holy place and to minister unto Him and to give Him praise and to make love to Him and to adore Him and to give value and respect to Him. There's a group of people that are called to do that. And I just happen to believe, I'm simple enough to believe, that we are one of those people. We are a group of people like that. And therefore, a lot of our petty differences, really, we ought to lay aside. All of our personality quirks and so forth, we ought to lay a lot of that aside, because our purpose here for being here in this particular place is only a temporary thing. But our purpose here is not to see how many goals we can score and not to see how much money we can give. Our intent is to minister unto Him. In other words, He ought to feel good when we walk back out through those doors. That might be a strange way of saying things. But I want you to think about this. That like Brother Branham said, you have to know where you stand. And you really can't do anything unless you have faith in what you're doing. All right? So, if I understand it right, the operation of the Holy Spirit is not meant to be like a cookie cutter and make everybody do the same thing, sing the same songs, have the same one cup or many cups at communion. That's not the intent of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, His intent is to bring us to our right position, to bring us to our right place in this earth, and then to bring us home to where we belong, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to our true eternal destiny and to get us there. I think it is preposterous. I think it is a mockery for anybody to say, well, everybody needs to sing like this, and everybody needs to worship like this, and we can't have drums, or we should have drums, or whatever else. It is a mockery of our intelligence for somebody to say that, because you know what? If you can say that, you've never lived in the South. And if you live in the South and you say that, you've never lived in the North. And if you've never lived in the North and the South, and you say that, you know what? You've never been overseas. And I will tell you something, that they sing in Germany a whole lot different than they sing in Malawi. But you know, all of them, to me, all of them that believe this word like we do, are bride. Because the choosing of the bride and the cultures out of which they come is not our choice. It's God's choice. And so it's not for me or for any other minister to try to dictate some uniform standard of worship or some other way. Let me tell you, that's not our intent at all. I believe we have to understand that God has called a people, and simply it's what I want to say in the preamble, that God has called a people to enter into that inner place where we can minister to Him and we can praise Him in spirit and in truth. Now, Let me just develop this for a moment here and see how far we can get. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is teaching the people as they're going into the promised land. He says, behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. In the sight of the nations which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. So God said, I'm going to shape your thinking by the commandments and statutes I give you. All right, you got to follow this. I'm gonna shape your thinking, and I'm gonna encourage you to administer your way of life by these commandments that I give you. And if you do them, it will make you different. It'll make you distinct from other nations around you. And as you prosper, other nations will look at you and say, "Wow, those folks are different. They've got something we don't have." Let me give you an example. Back in Genesis, when Joseph was telling Pharaoh his dreams, everybody know where I'm at? Everybody okay? Joseph says, now therefore let Pharaoh take out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Now Joseph's not in that spot yet. He's just telling Pharaoh, this would be a good thing for you to do. And let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up a flat tax. Did I just say that? Or a fair tax. Let Pharaoh take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Now, Joseph knows that there's a famine coming because of the dreams and the interpretation God gives him. He understands this, and he knows that there is this famine coming. There's going to be plenteous years here, and Joseph says, what you need to do, Pharaoh, is make somebody an administrator over the kingdom here, collect 20% from everybody, no matter what they have, no matter how many barns they have, how many flocks they have, collect 20%, keep it. And he said, that will help us to get through over in the difficult times. And that's what he says. Now, I will assure you that in my research, and as you go back and you look at this, Pharaoh would have been the type of person that extracted a whole lot more from the people than just 20%. Okay, a fifth part is 20%. Now, we find over in Genesis 47, just a little bit farther, it says, and it come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh. Now Joseph's in that spot. He's telling the people, give the fifth part unto Pharaoh. Four parts shall be for you, for seed for the field, for your food, pay for your internet, pay for your gas, for them of your households, and food for your little ones. That's, you can live off the 80% here, but 20% goes to Pharaoh. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. So let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. This is great. Compared to what we were doing before, this is great. And you've saved us by doing this. This was God's way. Because remember now, Joseph's interpreting this dream from Pharaoh, and God's given him the interpretation and given him the instruction about what to do. And here's how you're going to save this nation. And when that famine came through and wiped out other nations, the other nations looked over at Egypt and said, wow, they've all got food through the 7 years. What's the difference? You know what the difference is? The wisdom and understanding that God gave to somebody in that land. Amen. That's what makes the difference. That's just an example. Now, Brother Branham said that, how many believes that he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that healeth thee? And listen, friends. Now, Brother Branham, this is 1958, still in the healing ministry. And he's trying to help people understand what it means to have a prophet and what it means to have a gift of healing among them. He says, too many times my ministry in America hasn't been very forceful because it looks like the people are so confused. One teaches one thing, one another one, instead of sitting down and taking the Bible and reading it for yourself and being convinced by the Holy Spirit. When you read the Holy Spirit and see how God actually operates, even in the Old Testament, and see how God operates, it helps us to understand that the people who follow God's commandments and are not following their nose and are not following their feelings, my goodness, you don't need to be following your feelings at a time like this. How many of you have ever been let down by your feelings? Don't need to show your hand, don't need to raise your hand. Mike did, he raised his hand. Listen, the last thing you want to depend on is your feelings and be led by your feelings. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is never going to lead you some way contrary to the Word of God. Right? Because they're the same. And Brother Bram says, we got one teaching one way and one teaching another way. Well, we just read in Ezekiel over here that you got priests in the temple who are basically a bunch of backsliders, and they're offering the same offerings as people over here, but they're ministering in two very different contexts altogether. Right? One is ministering people-wise, and the other one is ministering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself. And there's quite a difference over here. And Brother Bram says, you know what? I'm trying to do something. God's raised me up here, and I'm paraphrasing. God's raised me up to do a great thing here in this nation and in the world, and getting your attention with this gift of healing here. And people are saying, well, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to teach that, and I'm going to teach something else over here. And Brother Bram said, the problem is the effectiveness or the forcefulness of the ministry is diminished because everybody's got all kinds of opinions about things. One teaches one thing. Another teaches another thing. And people are not convinced by the Holy Spirit because they're not basing what they believe back on the Scripture. That's why it's very important for us to read the Bible. That's why it's very important for us to listen to the voice that God has sent to us in the last days. Is that all right? So here's the question then. Does wisdom and knowledge, and the wisdom and knowledge of God, does it come by just obeying God's Word? Does it come by just being a good, obedient church member and coming to the right church? Is that how it is? Let's look at it a little bit closer. Here's an example. In Exodus chapter 36, Moses comes down from the mountain. He's got two stones that have the tablets there and the Ten Commandments written on them. And God says to him, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. Everybody know the story? God gives Moses the vision. Here's what the tabernacle is going to look like. Here's how you build it. Here's the commandments that go in it. Here's the mercy seat. And he gives Moses the vision, but Moses doesn't actually build it. God's already put the spirit of wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the sanctuary in the hearts of people in the congregation. Right? God's put that in the hearts of the people already, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. They didn't go to seminary to learn that. God put it in there. They didn't have to hang around the pastor and do a test and listen to a tape and take a test. Let me tell you, God put it in there. And if God puts it in there, they're called to do a certain thing in the congregation because the congregation is blessed when everybody takes their gift and uses it the way that God intended. You know what? Then God can come down and get in that tabernacle and God can come down and dwell among His people. That's the idea. The idea is not that Aholiab and Ahisab, the other fellows that are here, Bezalel and Aholiab, that all of a sudden now they're made great people in the congregation. No, they play their part, and when everybody brings their part together, then God comes among that people, and He blesses them with His own presence. And there's no difference today when we come together. It's not about who's greater and who's a better singer or whatever else. Let me tell you, we bring our parts together, and when God sees that unity in the body of Christ, He can come among that people and bless them. But if you've got a different idea, well, I'm going to do this, and I see it this way, and I want to have my way, and I'm going to take my ball and go home. Let me tell you, God can't honor that, and God can't move among that. But when people come together and say, hey, God's called me to do a certain thing, and I may not even understand it, but I'm going to do it because that's God's will for my life. Let me tell you, God will honor that, and God will bless your children, and God will bless your household, and God will bless the corn in your field, and all the other things you need blessing in. God can do miracles among us when we have that kind of thinking. God can do great things among us when we have that kind of thinking. For years and years, we suffered people that had all kinds of doctrinal ideas that they thought somehow or another they had a corner on Revelation and they were the great wise one in the message of the hour, and we've got two souls or we got seven thunders or we got something else here, let me tell you. And God never honored it. And I'll tell you why He didn't honor it, because every one of those movements have fizzled out because they were based on personality and not on a revelation of God's Word. And I knew many of those men. I hung around with many of those men and knew them personally. But I'll tell you what, they don't last because they're built on men's understanding and they're not ordained of God. And it's always a balancing act here in our church. That's why I've tried to stay faithful and try to present to you what comes out of the message or what comes out of the Bible and present it to you so that you can go back and examine it yourself. Because if I were you, I wouldn't trust me. I would trust what God says. And that is the most secure thing that we can all have. And that's the most secure thing that we can follow. It's not Brother Barry, but the things that God has said to us in this last day. But there's always a balancing act in the church to try to make sure that we always stay in line with the things that God has declared are of value and are important to us in the last day, but God actually puts in the hearts of His people the right spirit of wisdom and understanding, or preaching or singing or deaconing or whatever else. God puts that in your heart. Everybody here is not ordained to be a deacon. Everybody can't do that. Some of you people would die a thousand deaths if I said to you, hey, we need to go straighten this brother out here. Would you go talk to him for me and straighten him up? Levine over here is wearing, he wears sandals every Sunday service to church, and we just want to go and just tell him, will you? Some people would die a thousand deaths if they had to go do that. But other people say, hey, roll up their sleeves and say, where is he? I'll go talk to him. I'm only joking. You're not wearing sandals, are you? Is he wearing sandals? All right, we're good. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes there are things in church that need to be said. And you know what? Some people get up here and lead singing. Like Brother Wayne's done it for 40 years. He get up here and lead singing. If I told some of you that, hey, if you don't mind, we don't have a song leader tonight, can you get up and lead singing? Some of you would just wilt. Just wilt. I've offered my wife many times if she'd like to get up and speak to the congregation. To say something, or... wouldn't want to do it. Not called to do it. Not ordained to do it. But you take a preacher and you tell him he's got to sit down forever and not speak again. I'll tell you what, he'll bust a gut. Or blow a gasket, one or the other. He's going to do that. Because there are certain... Everyone's not ordained to do the same thing, just like the parts of my body are not all ordained to do the same thing. And so we all have a different calling here. But God puts, my point is that God puts that in there. We don't put that in there. Daniel chapter 1, and as for these four children, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Why? It's not because Daniel was intellectually brighter. It is not because he was, of a ready mind more than other people. It's because God had put in his heart something that made him distinctly different than other people that were there. Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So Paul is saying that the understanding that we have and the revelation that we have and the joy that we have in preaching the gospel and living the gospel comes because the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. One age to another age. One messenger to another age. And God imparts that. God gives that. Now when God imparts that, there has to be a readiness to obey that in the hearts of His people, right? We find again in Acts chapter 6 here, and there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. These are the people that were disputing with Stephen in the temple here before he died, and they were not able to resist. It's not that Stephen had gone to Toastmasters. Stephen had the wisdom and spirit by which he spake, which was given to him by God. It was in the package of the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God gave him that, and he engages with the eternal, and now he fulfills the part that God's called him to do. Now, Brother Bram teaches this also. He says, now, my sheep know my voice, and a voice, of course, is his word when he is speaking. Follow me now. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. A voice, of course, is his word when he's speaking. My voice has been proven to them to be true. It's vindicated that it's my voice. And notice, they're not subject to following any other voice. My sheep are not subject to follow any other voice. Are there other voices? Yes. Are they subject to them? No. Because they're only going to follow one true voice. And in other words, they will not understand the theological voice teaching contrary to the word. Sheep don't understand that, no more than an eagle would understand the clucking of the hen, because he's an eagle. This is something deep down inside. And same thing with a genuine born-again child of God. They understand only the things that are of God. They understand only the things that are of God. What a great privilege that is. Now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to jump ahead here because I want to get to a certain point here. And going beyond the camp, now you got to think about the title here for a moment. Stay with me. He said, I was told they have a jet plane now that makes those noises we hear around here, shakes the windows, the Army jet plane, the Air Force jet planes that fly over. It's when the plane has got so fast that it crosses its own sound barrier. And it's almost unlimited to what it will do. When a plane breaks out of that sound barrier, it's almost unlimited in terms of how fast it'll go and how much ground it can cover. And I think in there, we get a great lesson. When we go beyond our own sound barrier into the Word of God, then it's unlimited what God can do with a man that's ready to go beyond the camp of man. We see that going beyond the camp, going beyond this. There's a great lesson in here. Now watch what he says. When we go beyond our own sound barrier into the Word of God, into the understanding and the reading of Scripture and the understanding of the message that God brought to us, then it's unlimited what God can do. It's unlimited. Now look, we're not here to tell God what He should be doing. We're not here to try to design God's works in our own understanding of things, because our ways are here and His ways are up here, right? His ways are higher than our ways. So we're not here to try to dictate to God or try to suggest to God a better way. But I believe that there is a better way than to live just in these old bodies and many times have the struggles that we have. Some people have struggles just getting over their past and getting over mental barriers. Some people are bound by complexes, is the word I'm looking for. Some people are bound by poor memory. Other people are bound by complexes, and they can't seemingly get over something. They're always haunted by things maybe they should have done in the past, or something that maybe happened to them and has developed a complex. Brother Branham ran into it all the time in the prayer line. And we have people that are here that have gone through all kinds of different things in their past, and maybe carry fears and carry. No matter what decision you make, you always feel like maybe I made the wrong one. And Brother Branham is telling us that, you know, for the people of God now, this is not for everybody, because every plane doesn't break the sound barrier, but for the people of God, if they can only get into that place where they could break through that normal sound barrier, they can move out into a realm where God could really deal with them. Isn't it true that Brother Branham said about the Ephesian church? He said that God could take them farther. Paul could teach more things there than he could the Corinthian church, because they were still messed up with, taking money out of the offering and somebody sleeping with another man's wife and all the other things that Paul had to correct in the Corinthian church. So their conduct actually held them back a little bit, whereas the Ephesian church had kind of moved beyond that, and Paul could really teach them great things. Right? All right, now, what does this mean? Let's. Brother Bam says a great lesson here. Forgive me a moment here just to show you the principle. As the speed of an object increases to what they call a sonic velocity, which is the velocity or the speed with which sound waves move, these sound waves begin to pile up in front of an object. And if the object has sufficient acceleration, it can actually burst through the barrier of sound waves and move ahead of the radiated sound. So this is what it looks like if you were able to graph sound, if sound is actually in a wave. And so when a plane comes, if you brought a plane in from over here and it was going quite fast, it would actually push these lines together. It would heap them up together. And then over time, the change in pressure as the object outruns the pressure and the sound waves in front of it is heard on the ground as a sonic boom. So if we go back to this right here, and the plane is actually pushing all of this ahead, but the plane keeps accelerating and moves on, it'll actually break out of these sound waves. It'll go beyond them so that the plane is up here and the sound waves are actually back here, because it's moved beyond the sound waves it's creating. I see this almost every day. At our house, we live near the Radford Arsenal plant. I think I've told you before. And the Radford Arsenal plant is a facility that's run by the American military, and they make all sorts of ammunition there for all sorts of really fancy weapons that are used all over the world. And they make weapons for literally every part of the globe. And it's a huge complex of buildings up there, and there's a lot of security to get in there. So the pilots who operate out of Norfolk, Virginia, in the naval base out there, they train their pilots all the time to fly over sensitive targets in the country so that they become familiar with the terrain. Is it rolling hills? Is it mountainous? Is it flat? Is it windy always there or what? So they train new pilots and they make a loop. And they go down to certain spots on the map on the eastern seaboard, and they fly over all the time. And ours happens to be, the Radford Arsenal plant happens to be one of the last on the route. And so the planes, they will loop over the Radford Arsenal, and the pilots get to see the layout of the place. Because in the event of an attack, an all-out attack on America, an enemy force is going to strike communications first, and they're going to strike ammunition plants. Things that are sensitive to the battle, they're going to strike those first. Because if you can have all the guns you want, but if you don't have any bullets, what's the point? Right? So they're going to hit power plants, they're going to hit computer centers, they're going to hit ammunition dumps and so forth. So the pilots need to be ready to protect those sites very quickly in the event of an all-out attack. And so these pilots, they make stop, and then they come over to the Radford Arsenal plant, and then they just jet home. I mean, it's lunchtime, so yeah, off they go. And they just put the pedal to the metal, or however they do it in a one of those fancy planes. And they will fly back to the base. We've learned over the years that whenever you hear the sound of a jet, and this can happen every day at our house, whenever you hear the sound of the jet and you hear it coming, you've got to learn to look here. Because the plane has broken out of the sound waves it's pushing ahead of itself, and the plane is up here. And so if you're looking at the sound or looking where the sound's coming from, you're back here, and this guy's waving up here. He's long gone. He's halfway to lunch, and he's gone. And so we just subconsciously, when you hear that sound, you start looking way up here, and here they are. And sometimes they're so close to the ground, they're actually low in altitude because that's the way they learn to fly. You can see the pilot's expressions. You can see the sun glinting off their helmets. It's really a fascinating thing. But it will scare the liver out of you. Let me tell you something. It'll scare the liver out of you because that guy is already over you, he's gone, and then the roar comes. It follows after. He's gone way outside the sound barrier, and he's gone on. So if he had a bomb to drop, it would be on you before you even heard the plane coming. And that's what makes it so dangerous. And I've often thought, sitting on my deck, that if I was in Afghanistan somewhere, or in some other foreign part of the world, and the American forces came over in those jets, you wouldn't stand a chance. You wouldn't even be able to run for cover because the bomb would be on the ground before you actually see or hear the plane. You might be able to see it, but you wouldn't hear it. And so you have no, in a sense, they've kind of broken down the warning. Now, watch what it says now. At supersonic speeds, there's no sound heard as an object approaches an observer, because the object is traveling faster than the sound it produces. That's incredible. Only after the object has passed the observer is someone able to hear the sound waves that came from the object. So you could be standing there, plane's gone, now the sound comes. That's the way it is. Brother Branham says a great lesson in this. So here's what it looks like when they act, because there's vapor and water vapor involved in the atmosphere, and they break through in this puff of whatever this water vapor is, and they move on, and there's a big bang that goes on. Brother Branham says this: Lord Jesus, may we be hated by the world, we may be hated by the world, but loved of the Father. Let us go beyond the camp now. Let us go beyond our own thinking, and let us go by the thinking of God. And the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. So let us think His thoughts, not our thinking. Because most of the time we're wrong. So to be sure, let His mind rest in us. And His mind is to do the Father's will. And the Father's will is His promised word. Brother Ram's actually praying that we go beyond the thinking of man. That we break out of the atmosphere of the earth and the theology of man. And things we always believed and things we always understood. And may we go beyond that. I would like to say this to you. I believe Brother Branham broke out beyond the normal barriers of theology and religion. And he was way ahead because the rest of the noise, it followed much later on. But I believe he broke out. I believe he came to those, to the end of the 1961, 62, and the end of that year. And he's preaching, sirs, is this the time? Sirs, is this possibly even the time when all of this could be coming to pass. And he's facing this event, and he doesn't even know what it actually entails. And he's moving into the cycle where God's going to open up the seven seals and the book of Revelation comes into view. Nobody else in history has had that view of the book of Revelation like this prophet has. He's way out beyond the normal understanding or the theology of the world. And 1900 years of people trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden here's God propels this man way out beyond the realm of human understanding. And now he's got a revelation sitting in front of him here. Day after day, God begins to reveal things to him. He says that maybe that'll be someday someone with faith enough to break through the barrier yonder, that sound barrier, that sin barrier, that unbelieving barrier yonder, and break through that to where all things are possible, grant it, Lord. He said, we're told that when the plane passes the sound barrier, it's unlimited in speed and power. My goodness, saints of God, are you with me this morning? I believe when those seals came open and Brother Branham broke beyond that barrier of traditional religion and traditional understanding, it's almost like he said, the Bible becomes a new book, and it's all of a sudden now we have an understanding or an insight that is so unique and so incredible. The rest of the world looks at it and says, wow. How did they get saved in the days of Pharaoh and Joseph? It's because God took one man and moved him ahead. And he comes back and tells Pharaoh, do this, and something else here. And you know what? If you follow what I'm telling you here, the whole country would be saved. And you know what I believe God did? God took a man in this in our time in the 1960s. And I need to preface this and say, we're not back there stuck worshiping Brother Branham. Are we okay on that? If that's what you think we're doing, we might as well buy a tape recorder or a CD player and just stay home and listen to it. Or go to Jeffersonville and press play and obey, like the game is being played up there. You might as well go ahead and do that. I wouldn't encourage it. But let me tell you, that's not where we're at. I believe that Brother Branham moved ahead and God propelled him ahead to give a word to the bride so that when the bride caught up with that word and the revelation of the word, you know what? It would actually propel the bride right out of this atmosphere and out of this atmosphere and take her into eternity. Can you believe that? God, he said, if we could just break through that power of unbelief and the miracles and things and the promises of God are unlimited, for all things are possible to them that believe. Maybe there's more for the bride of Christ. Maybe there's more for the people of God. You say, Brother Barry, are you trying to make us all like Brother Branham and speak squirrels into existence and so forth? No, not unless you need them. Brother Branham needed those squirrels. I remember asking Brother George, what happened to the squirrels after Brother Branham shot them? And he said, well, Rebecca said they brought them home, skinned them, cooked them, and ate them. Because they needed them. I'm not trying to suggest that all of us are going to go speak squirrels into existence here, or that we're going to become like Brother Branham. You know what? God wants you to be like you because he's called you to be you in this particular hour. He didn't call us to do what Brother Branham did. He didn't give us the gifts that Brother Branham did. Remember, he gives us the gifts according to the service that God has intended for you within the body. Some are singers, some are deacons, some are preachers and so forth. And we all have a part to play. And God wants you to do that. But God has given us something great to do that with. And that is not our own understanding, but the understanding that comes from the Almighty. Just like Joseph got it and imparted that truth to the people, and the people were blessed. They were saved because of that. In the same way that Aholiab and all the other men back there that were, they were anointed, and God gave them the gifts they did in order to do what they did back there, to build a tabernacle, and it was a house for God, so God could come down and everybody be blessed. Not just Aholiab for doing it, but everybody in the congregation would be blessed when everybody played their part. And in the same way, God's called you in the body. And God has given us a message that is capable, I believe, of propelling us beyond the ordinary struggles of ordinary life. And give us the strength and the strength of character to be able to live a Christian life in a very unchristian world. And to behave like believers. Behave like the bride of Christ. And have a revelation that there might be people doing the same thing, but God's called me to minister to him. Lord, make me a Make me someone who's a blessing to you. Make me someone who's able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, he says, if we could just break through that power of unbelief. He says, and the promises of God are unlimited. I believe sometimes we live below the blessings that God has for us, and maybe the good things that God has in store for his people. I believe sometimes we live below that. And part of it is just due to our own humanity and the pressures that we face in the day that we live in. But the promises are still there. And maybe sometimes conditions have to change in order to really wake us up, so that maybe we look to God and call on God differently than what we did before. Because God loves you. I'll tell you why I know God loves you. Because he saved you for the last. He saved you for the last day. And we're not compelled to believe any other thing except what God has said. And we're conditioned to believe the things that God has said. We're conditioned to discern the things that God hasn't said. We're conditioned to move by faith and not by feeling. We're conditioned to learn to get over things that we need to get over. And to walk on as Christians and to walk on as people that love God and want to do everything with their dying breath. They want to do everything they can to please God. That's who we are. Let's sing it this morning. Oh, make me more like thee, sweet Jesus. Make me more like thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee. Sing it one more time now. Oh, just make me more like thee. Make me more like thee, and just give me a that's filled with love, and make me more like thee. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. close this service today, Lord. Just a reminder, Lord, how sometimes, Lord, in the scripture, Lord, how you draw fine lines. And Lord, we always want to be found on the right side of that line. Like those Levites back in the time of Ezekiel, Lord, there's Levites on both sides of that line. But Lord, there's one group that's called to enter into your presence. You wanted those people near you. You wanted those people to draw near to you, Lord, and offer the right sacrifices and to bring praises to you. Father God, I just, in my own way, Lord, in this assembly, I want to be on the right side of that line. And Lord, we want to bring the right praises and offerings and sacrifices to you. We want to be saying the right things. We want to be doing the right things, Lord. We want to be found in the right place today. Because, Lord, it's a crucial thing to not be in that place that you've ordained. So, Lord, I pray for your guidance and I pray for your leadership, not only here, Lord, in my life, but, Lord, in the assembly, that, God, you would give each one, Lord, that comfort of your presence and knowing, Lord, that they're walking in that light exactly where you want them to be. And Lord, we are a people, Lord, we're over years, Lord, we've learned that our emotions and our feelings, Lord, sometimes they just flat out even lie to us. They don't even tell us the right things. But there's a higher power. There's something greater on the inside that is able, Lord, to control a son or a daughter of God and bring us to the place that you've ordained. And now, Lord, I commit the people to you and pray that your holy presence, Lord, will go with us. Lord, we have many that are sick, some, Lord, lingering at the point of death in the very August seasons of life. And Lord, we know that you're a God who is able to draw near, Lord, and comfort us in times like that. And even when people pass away, Lord, you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we pray you to extend that, Lord, to your people today. We love you and we thank you, Lord. Some, Lord, that are able, I believe today, even to reach out and touch you. And Lord, your grace is always sufficient for us. Your ways are perfect. Speak to the hearts of your people, Lord, I pray. Encourage us. Empower us, I pray, Lord, to just lay aside the things that don't matter and pursue the things that are of eternal value. We'll give you thanks and praise for all of it. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. And all the bride said, amen. Majesty, let's sing it this morning. Majesty. Jesus.